This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry. And our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of July of the year 2018. And it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture for this message is taken from St. John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but so whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Now, our subject title for this message is "The Truth Is What It Is," and this is part number 5 of a 10-part message. Now, last month when I left off, I was addressing a speech made by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in which he made the statement that if and when he gets to heaven, he doesn't care what side of Christ he is on, just as long as he is there. This was in response to the passage of scripture where the mother of two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, had asked him to place one of them on his right side and the other on his left side when his kingdom was established. You can find that in Matthew chapter number 20, verses 20 through 23. And Jesus rebukes her for it, because he says she doesn't know what she is asking him. Now I want you to look at this passage of scripture, Matthew chapter number 25, and we're going to start at verse number 32. And you find these words recorded. Jesus is speaking, and he says, we're going to read, 32 and 33. Jesus is speaking, he says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Notice verse 33 now. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand, on the left. Now we're going to go down to verse number 41 and look what he says here. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, on the left now, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What do you see about what happens to those on his left side? They will be dispatched to hell or eternal torment. So, in effect, Dr. King is implying that it is okay to be on either side, which is what he desires to be. If we look at the political climate in this nation today, we see that there are those on the right and those on the left. Traditionally, today, as back when Jesus spoke on this, the right are those that are the righteous, or those that are striving to become righteous. They have God's favor. The left, on the other hand, today, as back then, are those that are the perpetrators of evil, like abortion, gay rights, separation of church or God and state, or Christ and state, affirmative action, and others. They are in total rebellion against him. They have his wrath on themselves. But those on the left can't see it or feel there is no difference, and that includes politicians, because according to Dr. King, it makes no difference as to what side you are on. If this statement was made by some little-known preacher, it would hardly carry any weight. But because it was Martin Luther King Jr., then in their eyes, it is the gospel. I can remember some decades back, I heard the Reverend Jackson make this statement. If the lion and the lamb can lay down together, then surely man, who is made in the image of God, can live at peace with his neighbors. He was referring to the passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 6, which says this, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Everyone is saying we need to love each other, find common ground. Then there would be no more war, crime, or other things that will cause us to hurt each other. The problem is, this passage of scripture is talking about a time when God or Christ has once again taken control of the earth after setting up his kingdom. Consequently, there is no way man can achieve what Jesse is talking about without God. Yet Jesse makes it appear that man can do it on his own without God. This is why we are in the mess we are in today. We have too many preachers that are leaders in the black community who may have good intentions and a good education and are popular among us, but what they are saying shows their ignorance of biblical scripture. This is why I say our problem in the black community, and this nation for that matter, all stem from preachers that have no anointing from God, or they are compromising the word of God so that they can be popular in their community. Now imagine all of the presidents, congressmen and congresswomen, senators, judges, mayors and such, they go to church faithfully every Sunday, then go back to their jobs and pass laws or rules in favor of those that are the absolute wicked among us, all because some preacher has made them feel that it is okay and it will all work out in the end. When the end gets here, it will all work out because those that are on the left will be dispatched to hell, while those on the right, or the righteous, will rule and reign with him for eternity. So what side do you want to be associated with? If you take your position and confession of being saved seriously, then you have absolutely no business being associated with or supporting the Democratic Party, period. They are the enemy. There is no such thing as common ground with them. It is either their way or the highway. If a Christian runs as a Democrat, promising to stand on those things that are right in God's sight, and they get elected, and they try to do that, then they, the party, will not support any legislation that is put forth by that person, effectively setting that person up for defeat in the next election or impeachment before then. This is how dogmatic their stance in their warfare against Christ is. Not only that, but as I mentioned earlier, they also are actively at war with the black community. If we look at the history of this between this party and the black community, it is all bad. Historically, this party was the main supporter of keeping slavery legal. They waged a war that tore this nation apart, to keep what they felt was their right to own slaves, the vast majority of them black. When civil rights laws were passed and punishment meted out to those that continued in their racist actions, people thought the Democrats had changed and accepted the new laws. What actually happened is that they went from being overt or open in their actions to covert or undercover in their war on blacks, meaning that they started doing things that accomplished what they used to do in the open to hiding it. In the case of education, a person with little or no education is invariably a slave to those that are far more advanced than they are in the things like economics, history, social, and other skills. The Democratic Party accepted blacks getting educated in their institutions. They just made sure that those institutions in highly black populated areas of the nation provided a minimal amount of education to them so that they would not be able to advance as productive members of society. It is almost the norm that the majority of blacks in these schools graduate from the 12th grade, if they make it that far, but yet read, write, and do math at an 8th or less grade level. The chances of them getting employment which would pay them enough to support themselves, let alone a wife and kids, is slim to none. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When you don't know you are being used or made a fool of, then you are as a lamb being led to the slaughter. Democrats had the vast majority of us black folks so illiterate that they can tell us a flat-out lie to our faces and we will believe them without question. One of their favorite lies is the one on raising taxes on the rich and the big corporations while giving the middle class and the poor either a tax break or a tax cut. They know that the vast majority of the middle class and poor are not educated in the area of economics and things like that to be able to see this lie for what it is. Interestingly enough, your neighborhood drug dealer knows that it is a lie because he runs his own business and has to deal with the same issues the rich and big business does. Ask either of them what happens to the price of their product or service that they provide when the cost of their overhead, like rent, taxes, utilities, insurance, costs to meet regulations, wages to pay their employees and others go up. What they will tell you is they have to raise the prices of those goods and services accordingly. This means those costs are passed on to the consumer in the way of a higher cost of living. when prices go up, demand for most of those products goes down, unless it is something that is absolutely essential, like gas, food, and in the case of your neighborhood drug dealer, the customer's drugs. The result is, in the case of most businesses, is that they will likely start laying off people. And in the case of most of them, it will be the ones that with the least seniority that will get laid off first. And who are you? Who are the usual ones that are in this category? Blacks. In the neighborhoods, the person addicted to drugs has to come up with more money to get their usual fix. You know what that means. More desperation, translating to more dangerous or violent crime in our neighborhoods to supply that need. How many of you remember the late 70s when the Democrats had total control in Washington? Jimmy Carter and the Democratic Party went hog wild with their supermajority status. The GOP could do nothing to stop them. They raised taxes on the rich and big corporations, and then made the entire automobile industry begin to make vehicles that met emission standards that forced the prices of the new vehicles up over 75% from the previous year. It was called sticker shock. This action caused one manufacturer, American Motors, to close, and two others to seek bankruptcy protection. Millions of people lost their jobs in this industry as well as other industries, all for the purpose of keeping blacks, who were the main group to suffer the most under these job losses. That is how Carter lost his bid for a second term in 1979 in favor of Ronald Reagan. Racist whites in the South saw poor blacks leave and come up north to work in the automobile plants and return driving fancy cars and buying houses and land that most of these whites couldn't afford, and they didn't like it. So they elected Jimmy Carter, and one of the first things that he did was destroy the automobile industry. I have a saying that if something is good for the black community, it is not good for Democrats. Democrats can only thrive when people have to depend on government for their survival. The more, the better. Getting back to the spiritual side of things, the same thing applies. The Antichrist sees all the good things that those that are saved are receiving in this life and will receive in the life to come for eternity, then looks at what is in store for him and his boss, Satan, and he sets about to stop it. How? By putting his disciples or preachers in places of prominence in our community and telling them what to say and how to say it and to whom. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 through 15 tells us just how he goes about doing this, which I will get into in the continuation of this message next month. Rest assured, many souls will profit from this message. Well, that's all for this particular session. And as I told you before, I'm not going to give you a synopsis or, you know, make a commentary on each part. I'll wait till the end and then give you a short commentary, because with all these parts, by the time I get through, I will basically have given you everything that you should be needing to understand what's going on. So until we get to the next part or any other message that you might be reading, may God bless you and your families real good. Until then, good day.